Say amen. Amen. If you're not by now, you will not find it, all right? So just read along on the screens with us. All right, the Bible says this, verse number one, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." All right, and so just to give you kind of an idea of where we're at, this is Jesus, okay? "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." All right, this is the Sea of Galilee. All right, in your Bible, there's three names that are given for the Sea. Well, you have the Sea of Galilee, and then two other names that are given for it. The Lake of Gennesaret, and then the Sea of Tiberias, all right? If you go to John chapter number 21, there is a miracle, a draught of fishes, 153 fishes, if you'll remember that. And man, I've been studying that all day today, and I told Michelle, I said, I didn't even study what I was preaching tonight, I was studying somewhere else. But anyhow, the 153 fish, when you go to John chapter number 21, it is referred to, the Sea of Galilee is referred to as the Sea of Tiberias. And of course, if you went with us over to Israel, we stayed in Tiberias right there on the Sea of Galilee, all right? So this is where Jesus is at. He is at the Sea of Galilee, and the Bible says that there was a multitude of people, all right, and they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Now, when we see this, make sure you have the understanding, they literally was giving him no space, all right? When you see in the Bible, when you, I don't know, we might keep this, when you see in the Bible that they pressed upon him, all right, it literally means that they were giving him no room, all right? How many of you have ever felt like that? All right, I don't do good in crowds, all right? I mean, it's like, you got to, all right, I need my space. Let me go ahead. Let me do this right now, all right? When you talk to me, there needs to be a bubble. I need somebody to hear me. I don't want you in my face. Listen, everybody look at me. Listen real good. I do not want to smell your breath. Some people need to hear that, because as you continue to talk to me, you get closer and closer, and I'm fixing to go into fight or flight mode. Never mind. Let's just go on. All right. You get the idea of pressed upon, right? All right. The Bible says in verse number two, "And saw two ships," this is Jesus, "and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's." And I could just see Simon's face. Can I get a witness? Listen, y'all need to know something about Simon Peter. He was a man. Is everybody with me? Simon Peter, he stuck his foot in his mouth. I mean, we all relate to Simon Peter, right? I mean, but you have to understand something about these men. In John chapter number 21, I don't know, I might end up preaching that message, I don't know. But in John chapter number 21, when they came, all right, they drug those nets full of fish. It says it was large fish, and there was 153 of them. John gives us an exact count on it. Brother Johnny, if you'll read that passage of Scripture, Jesus is already up there on the seashore, and he's already cooking when they get there. And he tells them to bring the fish. And Simon Peter walks down to the boat, grabs the net with 153 large fish in it, and brings it to Jesus. I need everybody to hear me right now. All right? We ain't talking about a sissy. I don't know how many of you have been around any kind of fishing. But he grabbed a net with 153 large fish in it by himself and walked up the seashore to where Jesus was, all right? Simon Peter was not a sissy. And I could just see his face when he's over there washing his nets after fishing all night long, turns around and some dude done got in it, in his boat. The Bible says, "And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Why did he do that? Somebody help me. Because they pressed upon him. All right, everybody get it now? They're pressing upon him almost to the point that he's already in the lake. And he says, I got to get away. I got to get some space. And so he gets in a boat. He pushes off from the seashore and he teaches the people. All right. Now the Bible says this in verse number 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. This was more of their net began to break. And so the Bible says in verse number 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was, let me say this before I, because I'm not going to preach on this, but let me say this. He wasn't asking Jesus to leave. He was acknowledging his unworthiness to be in his presence. Does that make sense to everybody? Everybody understand? Peter humbled himself to the point that he acknowledged, all right, he acknowledged the difference between him and the one standing in the boat with him. In other words, he said this. Let me say it like this. I am not worthy to even be in your presence, all right? He wasn't asking Jesus to leave, okay? Verse number 9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And verse number 10, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Man, what a great story in the Bible. It is the beginning of the three. If you understand scripture, did you understand that Jesus did have 12 disciples, but he started off with three and they were his inner circle. Those three were Simon Peter and the sons of Zebedee, John and James, all right? When they go on into the Garden of Gethsemane, if you were here the second week, you remember 11 of the disciples stayed over here. Judas was betraying Jesus. They stayed at 11 stayed at the entrance of the garden. Judas was betraying Jesus. The other three Jesus took further into the garden. Those three were the first three that Jesus calls here or Jesus talked to here on the seashore. And this is John, James, and Simon Peter. All right. Now, as we look at this passage of scripture, I entitled this the catch. All right. The catch. As I looked at this, I was thinking, all right, my mind was thinking about what we have seen over the last 3 weeks. Now, you may not, it may not be no big deal to you, and it may have just been a church service for the last 3 weeks, but God was showing us some things. I believe that with all my heart. God was showing us some things. So I want to look at this catch, and I want to compare it with your mind. I want you to think not only about this Bible passage and this scripture, but I want you to also think about the last 3 weeks and what God has been doing, actually the last 4 weeks, because we went back even before the start of the drama, and God was doing some things. All right, I want you to notice, first off, if you will with me, as we look at the catch in the Bible, I want you to notice, first off, the exhaustion prior to the catch. Now, you may not have caught this, but here Jesus is coming with a multitude. And when he gets to the seaside,
when he gets to the lakeside, which, by the way, the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias is nothing more than a freshwater lake, all right? But when he got there, he had a multitude, and they were excited, and he was more than likely enthusiastic about being able to teach, but the Bible says these guys weren't in their boat. They were over there washing their nets. When Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, launch out into the deep and cast your nets out. Simon Peter told him a little bit about how the last night had gone. He said, Master, all right, hey, look here, we have toiled all night. Now, for a first century fisherman, for you and I to go fishing, I need somebody to help me, is something that we enjoy doing. Matter of fact, I had a phone call today, and the guy said, hey, preacher, how you doing? I said, I'm fine. I ain't seen you in a long time. You're going to have to take me on a fishing trip to make it up. Is everybody all right? Why? Because we enjoy going fishing. Is everybody all right? I got like guys in here. Y'all, look, don't go transgender on me. We like to go fishing and hunting and all these other things. Can I get a witness? Amen. All right. And so for us, fishing is something that we enjoy. For them, fishing was work. And the Bible says that they toiled. Not that they were having a good time, but that they toiled. In other words, they were working all, listen, he said, we toiled all the night. It wasn't just for a few hours. It wasn't like taking my wife fishing where when the fish don't bite, I'm ready to go home. Right? This, hey, now the ladies are getting involved. Yes, sir, amen. Don't take me out there and leave me on the boat and we're not catching fish, all right? But here, the Bible says that they toiled. The Bible says that it was all night. I need somebody to hear me. And the Bible says that they caught nothing. I need some fellas to be with me right here. Now, I enjoy going fishing, but when I don't catch anything, I get a little grumpy. I mean, I don't do it for a living, but I'm pretty decent at it. And when I don't catch anything, then I get a little grumpy. Right? And Michelle, right? Amen, Michelle will tell you. I'll get a little grumpy on you, all right? Now, so if you can picture these guys, they have worked all night, worked, toiled, they have caught nothing, and now they're washing everything up. That's right. Worst part of a fishing trip is to clean up. Amen. Cleaning the boat up, getting all, right? Amen. And here they are, all of this is being done, and Jesus shows up, happy, with a multitude of people that are excited. And these guys are like, I just want to go to bed. The exhaustion before the catch. Can I say this? Oftentimes Jesus comes to us at a time that's inconvenient for us. Now, I need somebody to hear me right here because this was some things that, man, God was showing me. It was a time that was inconvenient for these men. But it also was a time of change for these men. When did they fish? At night. That's what Scripture said. And now Jesus is telling them to go do it when? In the daytime. Jesus is telling them to launch out into the deep. And Simon Peter he lets his Lord out just a little bit when he says, look here, we've done this all night. Let me paraphrase what Simon Peter was saying. Look here, man, I know how to fish. Is everybody with me? That sounds like me. You doggone right. That's how Simon Peter was. Hey, look here, man. I appreciate the fact that you can probably build me a nice table, carpenter boy. But this is what I do for a living. I need somebody to help me. Matter of fact, me and my partners, all night long, we was out there. You know when you're supposed to fish in the nighttime. All night long, we was out there. And we didn't catch anything. So I'm just letting you know that I'll do what you ask me. Come on, y'all, help me. I'll do what you ask me. But I'm not really expecting anything out of it. Why do you think the Bible says that they were astonished? Why do you think Jesus had to tell him, fear not? Man, we don't read the Bible the way we ought to read the Bible. I think Jesus might have seen into Simon Peter's heart. Hey, look, I'll do this. but you don't know what you're talking about. And as soon as God answered the prayer, Simon's like, oops. It was the exhaustion prior to the catch. It's inconvenient a lot of times. But the catch comes oftentimes because of change. I notice number two, the encounter before the catch. We see that there was a multitude. I can say this, and I'll say this with all, I'll back it up with all authority right here. There's a multitude of people that need to be caught. Right. See, the fact is that while you and I are going through our life and we're doing the things of business and we're going out just like Simon Peter and them and toiling and working, and oftentimes not getting results, there's something bigger than what you and I are doing. And the encounter here, one, Simon Peter seen the multitude. But two, he got a good glimpse of the Messiah. Now before this, he called him Master. But this name that Simon Peter used, the word that he used here, was almost like a boss. I don't know that it even wasn't just a little bit. I don't know. Maybe it was just a little bit of come on, y'all. Y'all know what it's like when you're like, oh, yes, sir, boss. That's what you want to do. He used a name here, not necessarily Messiah, not necessarily God, not necessarily my master or my rabbi, but he used a word here of, yes, sir, boss. At the beginning, when he caught the draught of fishes, he said, depart from me. For I'm right? So this encounter that Simon Peter had here, it not only showed him the multitude, I'm going to get back to that at the end of the sermon, but it showed him the Messiah and it showed him the method. Even Jesus, I need somebody to hear right here, even Jesus changed up his method at this point. From this point, we've never seen Jesus get in a boat. We don't hear about Jesus getting in a boat and teaching from out in the water. But at this point, Jesus changes his method. And then he turns around and he changes the method that the fishermen use. I'm getting somewhere with this. Because we live in a world, and we're all guilty of it, we don't like change. Anything that changes, we start having problems with it. And we've seen this. I've seen this. I've had people come up to me, why are we doing two services? Why can't we, are we going to go back? Are you kidding? With what God has, are we going to go back? We're more concerned with not having anything upset our wagon. Come on, y'all, help me. We really are. We're more concerned with not having anything upset our wagon than to see that God can do things through different methods. And here, this encounter shows that God himself is willing to change methods. Man, y'all better help me. One thing that I do know about fishing is that me and you can be sitting in the same boat and you can be catching fish and I'm not. And that makes me real mad. I need somebody to help me right here. If you've ever been in a boat with me, I'll start laying hands on the water. I'll start praying to God. I'll start doing all kind of stuff if you're catching fish and I'm not. But I ain't stupid. So when you pull that lure out of the water, I need somebody to help me. I'm going to see what you fishing with. And I'm going to dig around in a tackle box. I need somebody, whether it's mine or yours. And I am going to find what you're fishing with. I need somebody. Y'all better help me. And then I'm going to set up my rod just like you have your rod set up. I have learned in fishing that sometimes they'll bite the new penny. And sometimes they like the electric chicken. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you ain't fishermen, all right. And I will go with whatever is working. Sometimes fishing teaches us, sometimes you got to change things up. I need somebody to help me. We all throwing into the same lake. And if the idea and the whole reason we're out there is to catch fish, then we need to pay attention. Y'all better help me. Have y'all ever, don't lie, I need some fishermen to tell the truth right here. Have you ever, when you get to the landing and you ain't caught nothing? You pull up there and you ask some dude over there, you say, like, hey, y'all doing it good? And he's like, yeah, man, we caught our limit. Then you start walking over to the boat to talk to him. You don't say that, Brother Chris. You don't ask them what they're fishing with. You just lean up against the boat and talk to them while you're examining. I need somebody to help me. Why are you looking at what they was fishing? Don't act like y'all ain't no bayou fishermen. Me and Brother Bobby Coppage, and we used to go, me and him would go out there catching specks out at Whitewater. We'd be out there in Whitewater catching specks, and if you knew Brother Bobby, I mean, he was rough. And so we were in the boat, and we're out there catching fish, and they were some old men, and they were out there trolling, and they weren't catching anything. Me and Brother Bobby was wearing out the fish. Brother Johnny, next thing you know, they started easing over there, and they got closer, and they got closer, and they got closer. And Brother Bobby finally said, look here, preacher. He said, you hold on, because if I get any closer, I'm finna ram somebody. And he was telling the truth. He had a pistol in the thing. He was going to kill somebody, amen? But we do know, listen here, if we're not catching fish and somebody else is, y'all help me. We're going to change up what we're doing. Because the idea why we're doing it is to catch fish. We see the exhaustion prior to the catch. We see the encounter before the catch. We see the effect of the catch. I want you to notice the effect of the catch here. I want you to notice, first off, that it brought unity. Look at what the Bible says right here. It says in verse number 7, and they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. All right, the effects of the catch. When God does something special, which I believe he does, it should inspire us to unity. Why? Because if we're going to catch them all, we're going to need more help. We're going to have to work together. The Bible says that the net was about to break. They needed help. It should inspire us to unity. Not only that, it should inspire us to humility. The Bible says that Simon Peter fell down at the knees of Jesus. Did everybody catch that? Because we learned that the catch isn't about us. And it isn't really anything that we did. It is God's blessings. And so it should inspire us to unity. It should inspire us to humility. It should inspire us to purity. He said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I am a sinful man. If you understand, first off, that Jesus and his presence is the reason that the catch happened, then you understand that in his presence, we need to, come on, y'all help me. We need to be better than what
we are. And lastly, it should inspire ministry. The Bible says this, once they had finished, they forsook all and followed him. What we have seen over the last 3 weeks, 631 people in here on Easter Sunday, 398 on the next Sunday. I don't know what happened to y'all during that week. I need somebody to help me. I told Dalton, I said, what happened to 200 people? Last week, 502. God has shown us there's a multitude. There's a multitude that needs to be caught. Say, but you're talking about fish, but you missed it if that's what you got out of it. Listen to what Jesus tells him. Jesus told Simon Peter, he said, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Don't miss it. It wasn't about all the single ladies in here talking about, yes. Calm down. He was talking about spiritually. It's bigger than a fish. And when they seen what God could do, they wanted to follow him. When they seen what God could do, they were humbled. When they seen what God could do, and what God had done, it brought them to a place where they realized who they were. Holiness. Is everybody with me? The last one. This is a good word. I can't wait to watch some of y'all try to spell this. We see the exhaustion prior to the catch, the encounter before the catch, the effect of the catch, but the epiphany. The epiphany of the catch. Hey, somebody help Taryn. Last night, Taryn, I told you it was going to come out sooner or later. Last night in Bible college, I said, Jesus sought them. She said, just give me that look. A few minutes, she's like, is that S-A-L-T? I said, yes, Jesus salted them, and later he would pepper them. Hey, is everybody all right? Hey, I just said epiphany, and I know right here is like, what? It's all right. We'll help you. The epiphany of the catch. I want you to listen to this. The epiphany. What was the results of it? That's basically what that word means. The epiphany of the catch. It required obedience to his word. Catch would have never happened if Simon Peter hadn't obeyed God. It had never happened if Simon Peter had not done what Jesus told him to do. Listen to me. And he had every excuse in the world not to do it. He could have said, look here, we worked all night long. We're too tired to go back out. He could have said, we've already washed the nets and we're not going to go back out and get them dirty and have to redo it. Come on, y'all. That's double the work. He could have given all kind of excuses. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. We run out of gas. Not really, but you're getting the point. He had all kind of excuses as to why this wouldn't work. You're not a fisherman. You're a carpenter. Right? Chances are you ain't real good at this whole fishing thing, seeing as how you were from Nazareth over there, not around the Sea of Galilee. I mean, he could have given him all kind of excuses. I need somebody to hear me right here.
And there's a lot of people that are missing out on the blessings of God because we won't obey God because we think we know better than Him. Or we think, well, we've always done it this way. Now, Jesus, I know you're telling us to go out and fish in the morning. I know you're going telling us to go out into the deep. But just to be honest with you, we do most of our fishing. We've been doing this for a long time, and most of the time we catch them in the shallows and we catch them at night. I'm not saying your method won't work, but I'm saying your method probably won't work. He could have given all kinds of excuses. But the fact is that we're going to have to be obedient to God. Because complete, number two here, complete obedience to God brings rewards. Did you notice that Jesus didn't start off and say, hey, listen here, Simon Peter, if you will do this for me, I will do this for you. He had no guarantee that if he did what Jesus was asking that there would be reward. Yet, when he did obey Jesus, y'all, I hope you get what I'm saying right here. I hope I can say it the right way. Simon Peter did something for Jesus. Simon Peter did something for God. And God will not let that go unpaid. And so he gave him a draught of fishes. And when we say a draught, it was so many fish that the net was literally breaking. More fish than they had ever caught, because the Bible says they were astonished. And all that were with him. In other words, nobody had seen anything like this before. It brought fear to him. We see the epiphany of the catch. It required obedience to his word, and with complete obedience, it yielded great rewards. But here's the last one. I'm done. The catch was just a preview of Simon Peter's potential. The catch was just a preview of Simon Peter's potential. Simon Peter never caught that many fish before in his life. It astonished him. And then Jesus says this, follow me. I'll make you fisher of men. In other words, what you've seen right here, you see greater things than this. It was just a preview of Simon Peter's potential. You know what I looked at? Easter Sunday, 630 people here. If there were 630 people here on Easter Sunday, then that means we have the potential of having 630 people here every Sunday. 100 visitors in 3 weeks means that we have the potential to see that the next 3 weeks. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? God has shown us some things over the last few weeks. Now, I'm not saying that this Sunday we might have 102 people here because y'all get mad and say, I don't like change, I ain't coming. I'm just saying that the potential of what God could do, every one of us seen it. And what is it going to take out of us? Being obedient to God's word. Are y'all getting any of this? I turned it back around on y'all. Being obedient to God's word will yield great reward. Tonight, you recognize not only the potential of Calvary Baptist Church, but do you recognize your potential? Listen to me.
These guys were just fishermen, unlearned, untrained, and yet Jesus used them, his inner circle. He invested almost all of his time as far as ministry was concerned in these three men and nine other with him. Is everybody with me? And they seen God do great things. I believe God can do some great things here. Listen, I believe God can do some great things through you. With your heads bowed with me tonight, how many of you come around the altar? Brother Matt's going to play something for us. How many of you find a place around the altar? Realize, man, God showed us something. God showed us that there's a multitude out there. There's a multitude out there. It ain't just us. I mean, we've been rocking right along. 350 people, but that ain't all God has. We nearly doubled our attendance in one day. God's showing us. There's a bunch more people out there that needs. There's a multitude out there that needs him. God used a simple fisherman. Simple fisherman. Not somebody that was well educated. Not somebody that all of these attributes that you think you'd find in a leader. He used a guy that sat out in the middle of the lake at night and fished. And he showed them through a miracle their potential. Not by their power, but by his power. He was showing them what he could do if they would just yield to his word. Do you recognize that tonight? Do you recognize what God can do with you if you'll just be obedient to his word? I wonder tonight if we're mostly home folk. I wonder tonight if you'd just pray with me. God would use us, use this church, use people that are here tonight, people that ain't here tonight. To catch men and women with the gospel. I wonder tonight if you and I'd just be encouraged one more time to start throwing the net. Say, preacher, I've witnessed before and nobody got saved. How about launching out into the deep, the unknown again? Be willing to throw down the net. This time not by your power, but by his. Watch God. Watch God fill it up. Before I pray, I wonder if anybody in here be honest with the preacher and say, preacher, I do not know I'm saved. Preacher, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. If that's you tonight, I want you to just look right up at me. Preacher, pray for me. Is there anybody like that? All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you. Lord, for tonight, thank you for Luke chapter number 5. Thank you for the lesson, Lord, of the catch. God, I pray we not get weary in well-doing. These fishermen were exhausted. But God, at your word, they obeyed. You gave great reward. Lord, I know a lot has been asked out of our folks as far as ministry is concerned. Lord, I pray. Lord, we recognize our potential and what we can do. God, realize that, Lord, if it is done, it's all going to be you. Lord, we ask for the strength and the courage. Lord, to completely obey your word. And Lord, be a part of the reward. God, we met you. We know what you're capable of. There's miracles sitting at nearby every row here tonight. Some of us have stories that we wouldn't share with anybody else. But God, you changed us. And Lord, if you can save us, and God, we know you can save anybody. So Lord, I pray that we be inspired, Lord, to work together. Be humbled by what you've done here. Get ourselves to a place of purity, Lord, where you can use us. Lord, get involved in ministry where we can reach our potential. Lord, I love you tonight, and I thank you for loving us. Lord, we ask you to help us to be bold, courageous. Lord, be a net to bring others to you. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor and glory for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.